this.
I think the traditional sex addict is getting sex however they can get it and or including hookers.
Right.
But if you're really addicted to sex, then you would get it from, you wouldn't just have to pay some, like you get the free stuff too.
Oh, no, I believe that too. Yeah, I don't think it's just pay. I believe, you know, that sleeping willy-nilly with anybody,
They said that JFK was a sex addict. And that he also was, he had a bad back. And it was so bad that he was always hopped up on some pain pill. Mm. And that the women used to come by and he used to just, because he couldn't move, he just lay on his back.
That sounded like he was just lazy.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, I need a backyotomy. You're going to have to do all the work.
Now, there's a new book about him that's coming out that I heard the author talking about how he was a big drug addict and a big sex addict, and everybody knew it. They drove the women in and out of there. I'll
leave JFK alone.
Right, he can't defend himself.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, that's apparently how he got down, and everybody knew it. And there's a new book that's going to talk about it.
You know, all those Kennedys, to a degree, seem, you know.
I'm just saying, like, it, man, history wouldn't be too kind to any of these jokers if they were under the scrutiny that, well, we currently can put on you in a 2019 situation.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and, but back then you could get away with a lot more.
I know, because you don't have, everybody didn't have a cell phone filming everything you do.
Yeah.
All right, last night, Mo, before we do the Mo Better. Well, we got to go to break in, right?
No.
We're good. We came back. All right. Somebody called in and asked me about the Howard Stern shout out that's at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I am going to play you the entire clip. It's 52 seconds.
Good.
All right, here we go. This is me. This is 2000. No. I got to get it right. This is probably around February of 2000. I'm going to go with. Let's go with February of 2001.
Let me give a plug to Soul Brother Kevin. He's a black dude who follows us, I guess, on Real Radio in Orlando.
And why are you shouting out?
Shouting out because he wrote a song, which it does make a point. I'll play you the song. It's called You Can Say on the Radio.
That's
the name of the song. Okay, here it is.
It's Soul Brother Kevin walking down the street. Soul Brother Kevin swinging his anaconda me.
Booga booga.
Hey!
Booga booga.
Oh! You can say on the radio. Well, can you say mother?
A good point. I don't know how good a song it is, but it does make a point.
Say,
pretty bad.
Sounds like most DJ songs.
Hey, I'd say it's a little worse, but he does make a point.
Well, none of them are good.
All right, here we go. At least his makes a point. I'll give Soul Brother Kevin one.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, you should have flew to New York and slapped the taste out of Robin's mouth.
That happened when I was an intern for the Monsters. Slapped the taste out. You ever watch South Park?
Off and on.
Hold on. Don't do the prom thing with me again. You've watched South Park. I'm not trying to marry you to it. Listen, you've watched South Park.
Yes, I've seen a couple episodes.
You're aware that celebrities get on there and they get destroyed.
Yeah.
And that's a sign that you made it. Radio-wise, I had Howard Stern say my name 3 times.
Oh, no, great.
I said it 4 times in my own, and then Robin said it again at the end of the song. And I was an intern at the time. I'd probably been there a couple of months, and then a weird thing happened. I think I got over 2,000 emails that day,
right?
Because this was pre-social media, like the way it is now. And they called me into a meeting about 2 weeks later, and they go, well, we got a problem here. And I go, what's the problem? They go, well, we have sponsors that want you to come out and make appearances, and they want to pay you an appearance fee, but interns can't get sponsorships because it was a truly free internship because I was enrolled in college.
Right.
So they go, we have to hire you. So I got hired off of that, off of the buzz of that. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the perception that was put out on all of his syndicated shows at the time, it says Soul Brother Kevin is, it made it seem like the intern was actually hosting the show.
Right. Yeah, that's what I would have gotten from that.
So although it was the best thing that had happened to me and gave me a little bump when everybody was still trying to figure out, I was trying to figure out if I was going to get a second internship, if anything was going to happen. Actually, I can dial this back. That probably happened. Yeah, that happened in 2001, probably around November or December, because I started on September 10th of 2011, the day before 9/11. So that's how I remember when it happened. And I thought my radio career wasn't going to go anywhere because I was on a comedy show that was talking about 9/11 for 3 months.
And how you get hired the day before 9/11?
No. I don't know.
That's some bad luck right there. Yeah.
Only if you know what's going to happen the next day.
Yeah.
But we did. John, you're on the bone. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Big fans. I just wanted to call in about the sex addict thing. That kid that just got arrested and sentenced for killing his mom, his dad, and his brother, I believe, because he spent like $200,000 on a webcam girl.
Uh-huh.
I think that goes a long way to as far as saying that, you know, sex addiction can be pornographic. It can be actual physical touch. And also about functioning addicts, because you have functioning maybe sex addicts, just like you have functioning, you know, people that smoke too much pot, or functioning people that are alcoholics, or functioning, you know, people who do blow. Maybe they're still addicts, but they can still function off of it.
I understand, you know? John, but when it comes to sex, there's a difference between somebody who has a large appetite for sex and it doesn't affect their life, and somebody who has a lot of sex and it totally cripples them and they can't function. That's what I call an addict. If you just like sex, I'm not going to call you an addict.
Well, yeah, but I think as far as it still having a negative impact, I think that's what a lot of people would define as being an addict.
That's what I said.
Not functioning or
well,
just.
Well, wait, hold on. No, if I can function, if you can function, you're going to say a functioning addict. Well, I don't think it's a. I don't think it's hurting you if it's not stopping you from being productive in life.
What if you're well, so addicted? I was just going
to
say.
Maybe it just hasn't gotten to that point, but maybe it's on that path.
I don't know that I agree with that.
John, let me jump in. What if you're functioning, but you're married and you're having so much sex outside of the marriage that you're putting basically your house, your family life, your kids' life, you're putting everything on the line.
How are you putting that on the line?
Because if you get found
exactly.
out, you're going to get divorced, you're going to lose custody of your kids.
Yeah, you got to get your game tight, bro. You're going to lose it all.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing goes with like people that hide their alcoholism or their crack addiction from their significant other. If they get found out, it's all over.
But John, we have to put a line in the sand of what is an addiction and what is not. And if you're telling me that no matter what it is, if it's sex, if it's a drug, if I am functioning, and I don't mean I'm hiding it, I mean actually functioning, then I don't think that I'm addicted to whatever you're gonna say.
Well, if
there's to be a decline,
what?
There has to be a decline.
Yeah, my argument would be if there might be different levels about, you know, either way, if it's, you know, something that you feel ashamed of and you're hiding, and that it could ruin everything, and maybe it's the next level will be that step where it's on a decline. Maybe it's just the first step of it, and then there's a next step.
I think addiction not only with the decline can be quantified by risk. If you are risking
The risk thing is different.
You don't think that has something to do with addiction? Risking it all, risking your whole family life because you are so compelled to seek out something, whether it be sex or whatever?
See, you're saying seek. I think it's the other way around. Addiction controls you. So nothing's going to make sense. Like any of the stories JR going to have tonight at 9, right?
Yeah, the crazy thing, right?
Okay, all the crazy. A lot of those people are addicted to something. So we look at it like, oh, wow, you did this crazy thing. Yeah, I also was on this drug and that drug and the other drug. And none of that really matters. I think addiction overpowers your logic and overpowers. You don't even realize you're putting it at risk.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
That's, to me, what an addiction is. Now, you can have a problem and or a struggle with something. But, man, I'm really letting you be free to do your thing. If you can, if it doesn't destroy your life, and it's not taking you down, not affecting your family, you banging all these women on the side, you can still take care of your old lady. Hey, man, that's all you, bro. I'm going to say you're good at it.
I don't necessarily disagree.
I mean, you know. Oh, man, now I got all the addiction freaks.
You knew that was going to happen.
I know all the addiction freaks. Look, we'll do with that. And
Kevin, addiction is real.
I know. Which one's real, one or two?
Two.
Okay, this guy's, man, this is. This is good. Yeah, I like this. I like when the call's like this right here. Mike, you on the bone. What's up, man?
Hey, not much. Getting back with the addiction versus just something you enjoy a lot, about 10 years ago, they were getting on Michael Jordan about having a gambling addiction.
No, Michael Jordan, and he was addicted to winning. And gambling was just a little side effect.
That doesn't even make any sense.
No, okay, hold on. Now, Mike, if you're going to make an argument that Mike's gambling addiction affected his life, last time I checked, he was the GOAT.
No. That's my point. That's my point. Oh, it's like, right. It's how it affects something. Now you can say, well, if somebody, you know, somebody else couldn't gamble like that, it's like, yeah, but he was handling his business otherwise, and he had that much money to do that with, and he enjoyed it.
Wait, so I don't
right.
Your point about
that was just that's just a hobby, dude.
I don't know that I agree with this. I don't. If you're a
hobby,
if you're a billionaire and you go out every day and you lose $1 million every day and you can't, you have to go out and gamble. I don't know that just because you have the disposable income, that doesn't quantify it as an addiction.
But look, it's not affecting your life because I got so much money, I'm not going to have an issue.
What if Leonardo DiCaprio has to have sex 5 times a day? Now, just because he's Leonardo DiCaprio.
I don't think he has
DiCaprio,
to, but I think he is having it, though.
But that's what I'm saying.
No, you don't know the story is out on him. He'll hit it with the vape. He will vape you right on the back of your neck.
But isn't that still an addiction?
No, that's called fame. Get this movie cracking.
Well, that's okay, though, because as long as Mo had a problem with it, I know I'm right. So that's great. Thanks, guys.
All right. No, man, addiction, I think, is more devastating. When I say addiction, that means you can't stop. You need help. You can't just go, hey, man, you're smoking too much weed. All right, I'll stop.
First off, I think Mike's an idiot. Secondly, I think that you can be addicted to something without it having a negative impact on your life.
Right.
That doesn't mean you're not addicted. That just means you have the income or the status or whatever to facilitate the addiction without negative impact. Mike, you dummy you.
Well, hold on. I don't know. I don't know that I agree with that, though. I'm just trying to think because how is it not? Okay, you're saying I'm addicted to it, even though it's not harming me. I'm just in a situation where I can handle
where
this
you can,
addiction.
Where you can feed it without it
and
having
you know what?
Any negative
I can make
impact
a real,
on you.
I can have some. I can give you some small examples of that that a lot of people can relate to.
So you would agree
no,
with
hold
that?
No, hold on.
Yeah.
Well, let me keep it. Okay. Coffee. I can't deal without it. I've seen this place. I've seen people cash vacation days out because there's no coffee. I've seen them walking to places that clearly has inferior coffee. Because
right.
of coffee.
Right.
I'm
right.
addicted to caffeine.
Right.
Used to be nicotine.
Right. Cigarettes.
Oxygen. That's a drug.
No, man.
Oxygen
is
chemical.
We need oxygen.
You addicted to it, though.
No, I need it.
But go underwater.
Okay. Right. I don't even know what that means.
That means drown. Fritz, you on the bone. What's up?
I like Mike, man.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, man? You know, we're addicted to this place.
You know... I think
that was deep.
You know, I believe in sexual addiction. You know,
are you addicted to sex?
Well, I used to be, not anymore. I'm pretty old now, but the bottom line is anything you really love that you know that you can't live without on a daily basis is probably pretty much of an addiction.
Okay, what about
wouldn't you agree?
Money?
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, yeah, money's an addiction. You got to have it.
And
right?
even if you don't have it, you're still obsessed with it.
Damn right. Who ain't?
I don't know.
Fritz, a lot of people that ain't.
I don't believe you, Fritz. I don't believe you had a sexual addiction.
Well, wait a minute, man. You know, like, if you're with some chick, right, mm-hmm. and you're getting it all the time, man, the more you get it, the more you want it.
No.
You know what I mean?
The opposite.
What? Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. But you know what? You just helped me stumble up on something. I really think that's what sexual addiction is. That's what it looks like to me.
What? Which is what?
Like, you see a couple that's been married 50, 60 years, and they're an old couple, and they're like in their 90s.
Right.
And the dude's like, yeah, you know, we still do it every now and then. And I'm like, yo, you've been hitting that for about 60 years? That's a hell of an addiction.
Really?
Yeah, and look at what that addiction looks like naked.
Oh, that could be love.
That's not love. that's nasty. You ever seen a 90-year-old woman?
Yeah, but if you're a 90-year-old man.
Hold on.
No, first off, have I seen one intimately?
No, 90-year-old man wants to sleep with a 90-year-old woman.
Of course not.
Why do they assume that you are attracted to the person of your age?
I agree with you.
Young
there.
Women will always be hot. Don't at me. You know what, Chris Brown, he probably did say this. You might remember this or you may not remember it. Chris Rock once said something about hot women, and he said, I'm going to tell y'all something that's fact. He said, there's nothing finer in this world than an 18-year-old Puerto Rican. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's always going to be. That's in one of his things.
Yeah, I mean, he's right.
He is right, especially if she's from the Bronx. Stephanie, you're on the bone. What's going on?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
I'm going to have to totally disagree with you on this one.
Okay.
I normally agree with you on most of the things.
It's not a requirement.
I'm going to have to disagree. And I'm coming into this conversation late. I'm just coming into town. But I'm going to have to say that just because you're a functioning, just because you're an alcoholic doesn't mean that you can't be functioning. So you can still be a functioning alcoholic, but you need that alcohol in order to be able to function.
Well, then if you need I understand that, but I don't feel like if it's then you're not an addict. If it's not taking, if it's not controlling, if it's not controlling your life, then you're not an addict.
Why would it not be controlling your life if you need it in order to function?
I don't see it that way. I see if you're still functioning on all levels and your life is not going down and you're still able to be responsible and do the things you have to do, you're just partying.
So you can't be addicted to cigarette smoking?
I mean, I smoked for years and then I stopped. So did I beat the addiction?
Not saying you. I'm saying someone that needs it, regardless of all the warnings, that's on a ventilator machine.
Well, yeah, that is an addiction.
Yeah.
That's another addiction that the average person can look at. But cigarettes, you couldn't smoke too many cigarettes where it would stop you from coming to work. See, that's what I'm saying. Your family, your mom ain't gonna, your wife ain't gonna leave you because you smoked up all of the cigarettes. You smoked the rent. I don't know. I say if you can function and you can make it to work on time, play ball.
I don't know. I think if you need alcohol in order to function throughout the day, then you're an addict.
You want me to function?
Do I want you to?
Give me a drink. I don't know what. I guess so. Okay, I guess, yeah.
You can be a functioning. You absolutely can but be a functioning.
This, okay, addict. Now let's roll back. Because what I'm finding is that these conversations get into something else. So I'm going to rewind and tell you what this started out as.
Because I forgot. I'm glad.
Exactly. ASAP Rocky admitted that he's a sex addict. And he said that he wants to talk, and he's not embarrassed. He wants to talk about it. And I was trying to figure out what's the difference between a guy that says he's a sex addict and someone that loves sex a lot. What is the difference?
I think
the person that loves sex a lot might be having more sex than a sex addict.
Wouldn't the difference be someone whose day is consumed by finding sex as opposed to someone that when he's having sex really loves it?
Okay, but if you're a sex addict and you can't get, you can't go to work.
But you're at work.
You're watching porn. What are you doing?
You're watching porn. You're sexting. You're setting up dates. You go from one girl or guy to the next, and she got to have it.
But you're still able to do your job.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with that.
I got a problem.
Yeah,
that's
a good one, man. That's real good. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think we're too hard on people. Sex addiction. You ain't no sex addict. You're trying to, don't, because you like to have sex, don't try to make me to feel sorry for you. I'm addicted.
What if you're a guy that masturbates 10 times a day? That's an addict.
That's also something else. I don't know what that's about.
But you understand what I'm saying.
That
Say
is
it's
an
five.
Addict.
Let's cut it down to 5 times a day. You're an addict.
Well, I think what I'm learning here is that if you're going to throw the word addict around, you can throw that around to a lot of things. There's a lot of things that we can't live without.
You saying if I have 5 beers a day, I'm an addict?
No, but if you can't function without it.
Right, yeah.
That's what it is.
If your mind is consumed with the thought of it.
No, I'm going to give you thoughts to you. See, I don't believe in convicting people on their thoughts. You can think whatever you want. Can you get to work on time? Okay, what you think? I'm not a sex addict, and I love sex. Just like everybody else.
Right.
I don't even think the average porn star is a sex addict.
You're probably right about that. It's a business for them.
Yeah, when you say sex addict, I think you have to break these down to whatever you're talking about. Because being addicted to food is different to being addicted to sex and how these things play out and how you might have got to that place. Right. So I'm not addicted to it.
Right.
But it doesn't sound like something that people are going to be too sympathetic on.
But I agree. But, yeah, I think there are people that put things that risk certain things for sex.
I think it's the flip on that. I think they go out and do risky sex. Like, they want it so much that they have to heighten what it takes to get them excited.
Thereby,
now, if you married the missionary missy and you want somebody who wants to go get banged upside the correctional facility.
Right.
I had a buddy that used to do that. You ever take your lady out to the jail and bang on the fence of the jail? Let the inmates see it.
I mean, hey.
And then he was like, you ever get all loaded up, you know what I'm saying, and grab your gun? Whoa, no, we don't do that.
He would go and bang his wife on the prison fence so the inmates can watch?
A wife.
Oh, all right.
Not his wife. Oh, man. I'm talking about a mystery situation. I'm not talking about anybody. All right. No, man, I'm trying to think. Addict. But we've all, you would be willing to do riskier things or put stuff at risk, not even out of an addiction when it comes to sex, just because this girl is hot or a situation got presented to you that's so unique, you go, oh, yes, I'm going to go for that. That's a risky behavior as well.
I think we're all culpable of doing risky things or risking things for a momentary thrill or for affection or whatever you want to call it. But I think it's the person that is consumed. But I think when it's from one person to the next, when your thoughts are nothing but whether it's going to be porn, whether it's going to be an indiscriminate hookup, where it's going to be somebody on an app or a regular or whatever, day to day trying to get to that next sexual conquest.
But the person that's doing the porn ain't jumping around to all these other opportunities. They're more locked into that than they're locked into with a real woman.
I would say if you spend more than 15 minutes on the computer looking at porn, you probably got an addiction.
Well, answer me a real question.
What's that?
How do you know if you're addicted to steak? How many steaks is too much? Because I've been concerned about how many steaks I've been eating.
I'd say if you eat like 3 steaks a day, you probably got an issue.
3 a day?
Yeah, well, who needs 3 steaks a day?
No, nobody. That's an extreme. Nobody.
Exactly.
If I really like steak, how much is that looks like a week? How many?
I really like steak.
Like a really like. You like it? You like it?
I'd give you 3 times a week.
Like full on big thick
big
Delmonico porterhouse or something.
Yeah,
3 times a week?
3 times a week, yeah. Right. Outside of that, you might have an addiction.
Like I don't want to eat unless it's steak.
Right, right.
Oh no, but I eat salad on the other side of it.
Okay.
I might have a steak thing going.
Soda. Right. People get addicted to soda. You see people with these big 24-gallon soda jugs that they walk around with all day.
Wait, you can't be addicted to soda.
Absolutely.
No, you cannot. Really? Soda, man.
Absolutely.
Can I be addicted to water? Can I be addicted to crab legs?
You can be addicted to soda. Yeah. I think soda's a real addiction.
Soda doesn't call you.
Sugar addiction.
The caffeine, the sugar, absolutely.
I think of addiction when the person needs it, they're about to stab you.
But have you ever seen somebody that's so irascible before they get that soda or that coffee in them? Then they get it and then they calm down.
I'm not addicted. I want to talk to this person because this is the ultimate addiction. Gene, thanks for holding you on the bone.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
What's going on, man?
I think we're all addicts, and it's the worst addiction in the world. I mean, can you imagine if we all lost our cell phones?
It is the worst addiction.
We'd all be walking around like zombies.
Hey, Gene, it's such an addiction that it's one of my requirements if I ever seek a new relationship. I want a woman that's not addicted to her phone.
You know why? I look at the phone addiction kind of half cockeyed because there's not one single use for a phone anymore.
It doesn't matter.
But you're doing like 20 different things.
But one thing you're not doing is paying attention to the person you're with, and that's the problem.
Okay,
Are you trying to help Trump with Ukraine? What you texting?
Maybe I am.
All right. Well, maybe that's the problem. Thanks, Gene. You need to tweet. I don't know what you need. But look, no, man, like the phone thing, dude.
You can.
It's bad. I'm going to tell you, I personally feel like it contributes to breaking up relationships and putting a wedge between couples much more than you think. And it's not something you're even going to factor in. How many times you been to a restaurant and you see two couples at the table, both phones up, phones up, phones up, and then you got to hit them and go, hey, hey, what you want to eat? Oh, give us another second.
Yeah, it's the norm now.
And you know me, you know my norm. I mean, you know my thing. When you come to the restaurant, oh, you don't know, I have to get a, I get a woman the restaurant rules.
What's that?
Be ready to order.
You can't give her 5 minutes to peruse the menu?
You know what they have here?
No, what if it's her first time?
They got chicken. Okay, they got salad.
Be ready to order.
Be ready. Look, I told you where it's going. You couldn't Google it? You got to know what you want. We order when we sit down.
Listen, I'm not opposed to that because I spent 15 years with a vegetarian mm-hmm. that would take five times as long to order, and she and there was always, any on any given restaurant, there were three things on the menu she could eat, and she and one of them was a salad. Yeah. And she would take five, and I'd be like, you're either going to get a veggie burger, you're going to get a salad, or you're going to get pasta. Why does it take you three times as long to choose?
Here's what I always do to in a lighthearted way, it's always worked for me, in a lighthearted way to kind of tell you to hurry up, just pick something. I always look at the menu, I'm like, oh man, there's so many nice things on. I already know what I want. I'm just playing the game, trying to be conversational.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, they have so many nice things on here. Woo, so many to choose from. Ha ha. Hey, you know what? At least this ain't your last meal. So many things to pick for. Just pick some. I mean, you're like, we come back, you know. I say to that boy, they always fall. Like, well, we could come back anytime. But if you're a real pimp, this is what you'll do. I always kind of maneuver her into ordering what I want to eat later.
I like that. Yeah, that is a pimp move.
You see what I'm saying? Because if she gets the chicken and I wanted the chicken, I'll go for the steak.
Absolutely.
Because I'm going to kill mine. And you know, women, they all, their eyes are bigger than their stomach. And they're like, ooh, I want that. Two bites. Ooh, can I get a go bite?
Well, you know, a lot of them feel like if they eat the whole entire chicken in front of you, they're going to be judged, too.
I'm going to judge you either way. And then you get mad.
That's why women are bulimic.
But when she goes for the chicken, like sometimes I've had this happen before. I was like, yo, like, you know, stop eating.
Because like, you want like, the leftover.
No, because I know you're going to get too full.
Oh,
I ain't too much, boo. No, we're going to have to do it tomorrow.
Oh.
I was like, I knew you was getting down on that chicken.
Yeah.
Knew it.
Interesting.
All right. Oh, you got to slow them down. You know when they're going to get too full. Try to pull that trick.